This is a beautiful, warm day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is great to have everybody here today. Hope you are enjoying this good weather because it's going to stick around for a while. If you have not already picked up the scripture sheet for this month, they are back there on the table underneath the bulletin board. Learning to trust is what we're looking at this month. Trust is something that does not come naturally for the most part. I don't know about you, but I have a tendency to trust people right off the bat until proven otherwise, you know, proven that they can't be trusted. Other people are just the opposite. You know, they won't trust anybody until they've earned that trust. Trusting is something to some people that has to be earned. Or in this picture, as it depicts, is something that trust is something that has to be built. Okay? It doesn't just come out of the gate. Okay, I trust you. You have to prove that you're trustworthy. Okay? Prove that I can trust you. Prove that you could trust something. You know, trust means assured reliance on the character, ability, strength, or trust of someone or something. A couple weeks ago, we had to go down to Oregon to pick up Victoria, and as I was getting in the car that morning, I looked down at Kathy's left rear tire, and I could see the metal belts in there sticking out, and I didn't realize it was that bad. And it's like, well, there's nothing I can do about it now. I trust that this tire is going to get us to Oregon and back. And it did. I did not look at the right rear tire and come to find out it was worse than the left. And about halfway back, it blew. Okay, so luckily, I didn't put my trust in that tire. But, you know, some things we just trust. Most of the scriptures dealing with trusting in God are from the Old Testament, as you will see on this sheet if you haven't already looked at it. There are only a few that mention trust outside of the apostles telling the first century Christians to trust in them and to trust in their message. We will get into most of these scriptures over the next 3 weeks as we will look at those in more detail. Trust, or the belief that someone or something can be relied on to do what they say or they are willing to do, is what trust is built on, is the key element of social relationships and a foundation for cooperation. You trust that a new doctor that you are seeing is going to give you the best treatment that he or she can to help you with your ailment. Or the bridge that you are about to drive over will not collapse. About, I think it was 83 or 84, we went up to North Carolina, or up to Massachusetts for a family reunion from Florida. And somewhere along the interstate, I don't remember exactly where it was, we had gone over a bridge and continued on. And we were listening to the radio. And about 30 minutes later, they were reporting that the bridge we had just gone over had collapsed. You know, we went over it, not even thinking about it, trusting that that bridge would last, but actually, you know, it didn't. But there's a lot of things in life that we just take for granted that it's going to work the way it was built for, and it is trust in that item. You don't think about the trust that you dish out all day long to people or things. It just comes naturally. It is critical for romantic relationships, friendships, and interactions between strangers and social groups on a large scale. And a lack of trust in such scenarios can come with serious consequences. Indeed, society as a whole would likely fail to function in the absence of trust. The sense that one can depend on another person lays the groundwork for social exchanges, yielding benefits like affection, a sense of security, and achievements that would be impossible alone. When trust is absent or someone invested in them, the possibility of a successful future relationship diminishes. Trust comes in as many varieties as there are links between people. In well-functioning relationships, individuals can trust that a parent or romantic partner will show them love, that business partners will hold up their end of a deal, and that someone in a position of power will not yield it the way they shouldn't. To an extent, people also trust complete strangers. We trust more strangers today with everything from checking out our health, Uber drivers who drive us around town, DoorDash delivery drivers who deliver us food from a restaurant, you know, fast food restaurants. But we trust these strangers to do what it is that they're supposed to do properly. We expect these strangers to follow social rules and not to take advantage of us, the things they deliver, or our loved ones, despite the opportunity. We trust complete strangers on the other end of our daily banking activities, phone calls, items we order online, and posts we make to social media. Kathy worked for a telephone banking company down at the U City Mall. And with her banking background, she noticed that they were doing things that were illegal. You know, they were not supposed to have any kind of writing utensils at their desk, no phones at their desk. And they were doing that. And she was noticing that they were writing things down. And she reported it. Well, come to find out, after she had quit because of their, you know, what they were doing, Victoria still worked there. And she came home one day and she said, "Mom, you won't believe it. You know, the federal government showed up and busted it and arrested most of the people that were there." Okay. I got a message from my bank. And they were saying that they were having problems with a lot of accounts having false charges on them. And that the bank has been sued and has had to pay out all this money. And it's the exact same thing. That they had a telephone banking that people were writing down all this information and stealing it. Okay? But we think we trust in our bank to treat our accounts properly. But the bank is, but it's the people that they've hired, you know, that are not doing it, that are cheating us. But, you know, we look at that and we work it and we trust the banks to do what they're supposed to do. Okay? But does that mean we take our money out of the banks and we keep it at home? And, you know, if that's what you feel like you need to do, then you can do that. But it's hard today to live without that little plastic card. You know, a lot of places won't take your cash anymore, you know, unfortunately. Trust is a cornerstone of any social relationship, whether romantic, professional, social, or between friends. People who trust each other can work together more effectively at home, at work, or elsewhere. They are also more willing to share intimate information, which can reduce the risk of anxiety and depression and build a stronger sense of self. In the second chapter of the book of James, he talks about the idea that you can't have faith without works. James gives several examples of this in James 2, verses 14 through 26. "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says to you, he has faith, but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which they need for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." Verse 18, "But someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. And remember Rahab, when they were going to destroy Jericho, they sent spies in, and she hid the spies and released them secretly. And whenever they came back to destroy Jericho, they saved her because of what she had done. And that's what they're talking about here. James makes it clear that you can't just have faith. You must do works. You must do the will of our Heavenly Father as well to show or prove your faith. The idea came to my mind when I was studying this about how faith and trust tie into each other, just like faith and works do. In fact, faith and trust have the same general meaning. If you look at Merriam-Webster's dictionary, it defines faith as belief and trust in and loyalty to God. For most people, there is no practical difference between faith and trust. To them, the two are synonymous. Any difference that exists is very thin. And I want to look at some scriptures this morning that deal with that. The scriptures in Hebrews 11, verse 1, faith is defined as the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In other words, faith involves trusting in something that you cannot explicitly prove or see. Faith is inseparable from trust. It's the confidence that God can and will do what he says in his word. Faith includes both intellectual assent to something and trust in it. So we believe something to be true, and we also place our trust in it. We rely on it. I have this example that I use talking about the difference between faith and belief. And that same example holds true here with faith and trust. Let's say that I stretch a tight wire between the top of this building, across Highway 2, over to the other side. And I have a wheelbarrow, and I fill it with bricks, okay? And I walk back and forth on that tightrope between the tree over on the other side and the building. Well, you have faith that I could do it. You see me walking this tightrope with this wheelbarrow full of bricks. Where the trust comes in is when I dump the load of bricks out and ask you to sit in that wheelbarrow. Okay? Do you trust me to be able to walk that same tightrope with that wheelbarrow full of you instead of bricks? You saw me do it 5 times. Okay? An example of the relationship between faith and trust is what is called a trust fall. We see this between a child and their parents. Did you ever ask your child to jump into your arms? We see this in this first picture with the father and his daughter jumping off the rock cliff into his arms. Okay? Years ago, early 90s, a friend of ours from Iceland moved to Rapid City, South Dakota, and we went out there to see him, and there's a place, I think it's east of Rapid City, called Evans Plunge. It's a huge, huge, it's a pool, but it's fed by an underground hot water spring, okay? And the pool is probably as wide as this, maybe 3 times as long as this whole building. And the one end of it where the water comes in is shallow, and they have this big slide that kids can get on this mat and come out and slide and skip across, you know, the surface. And there's a shallow end to where small kids could go in and swim. And Victoria and the kids were down there, and Kathy and I had gone out into the deeper end, and we were floating around in this one section, you know. Well, all of a sudden, we both see Victoria come running to us. And I start kicking, you know, and rowing to get over to the edge. Kathy gets out because she's a better swimmer, and she starts swimming to the edge. And we get over there, and Victoria ran up to the edge and didn't stop. She ran to the edge and jumped. Okay, and she's small, okay? Didn't know how to swim, you know, good enough to jump into the deep end. But she had faith, you know, that we would be there and that we would, you know, pick her up and, you know, and save her. And she did. And Kathy made it there in time, you know, to help. You know, but that is what they call this trust fall, you know, this trust jump to where you trust that person. This idea of a trust fall is taught at Christian teen camps and business retreats, where the idea of creating trust in others is a must. You must have faith that these people will catch you even though your back is turned to them. You trust and have the faith that they will not let you hit the ground. The act of falling, as the name of the exercise implies, is trust. You might not even know these people standing behind you, but you must trust them and trust that they will catch you. You demonstrate the faith you have in them by blindly falling backwards. Trust in God is a core aspect of biblical faith. I found this slide, and along with faith and trust, it adds in patience. Kind of goes along with what you were saying this morning in class. But faith plus trust plus patience equals God's promise. And this is found in Hebrews 10, verses 35, 36, and 37. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence. Now, I want to take out confidence. I want to put in the words faith and trust. So therefore, do not cast away your faith and trust, which has great reward. And what is that reward for us as Christians? That's our home in heaven. For you have need of endurance. Endurance is the patience that this talks about. Our faith and trust in patience. For you have need of patience, so that after you have done the will of God, remember, I'm always preaching, you know, Matthew 7, verse 21, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, is going to enter into the heaven, but only those who do the will of my heavenly Father. So again, we as Christians have to do the will of God. Why? That way we may receive the promise. And again, that promise is a home, an eternal home in heaven. Verse 37, for yet a little while. We don't know how long that little while is, okay? But in the big scheme of things, it's just a little while to wait. And he, who is Jesus, is coming, will come and will not tarry. So our faith, our trust, and our patience equals God's promise, which is a home in heaven with him. I want to end this morning's lesson on what is trust and how faith is tied to our trust with the story of Jesus when he felt his power being drained from him when a woman with an issue of blood touched his garment. I want to encourage you to read this whole chapter because there are other stories in this chapter that I think deal with this idea of faith and trust. They are being tied together, just like faith and works. So please read Luke 8. We're going to start down in verse 40 through 48. So it was when Jesus returned, he had been, when you read the story, he had crossed the Sea of Galilee, had gone over and had healed the man whose name was Legion because he had a legion of demons inside of him, and he cast him into the swine, and he's come back across the Sea of Galilee, and he gets off, and this is what has happened, that Jesus has returned, that the multitude welcomed him, and they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house. For he had an only daughter about 12 years of age, and she was dying. But as he went, the multitudes thronged him. Now, what is this multitude and thronging him? It is a large, densely packed crowd of people gathered around Jesus. I don't know if you've ever been in a large, densely packed crowd. Every now and then we try to go to a play or a show downtown. And when you get out, you know, you've got these hundreds of people trying to get out, you know, four or five exit doors, you know, and you're scrunched up with people, and people are touching you, you know, as you're trying to get out. And it's not like they're touching you, but, you know, they're bumping into you as you're trying to get out. Or in a few weeks or a couple of months, you can go downtown to the Pig Out in the Park. And we've done that once, and it was the same thing. There's a group of people, and you're all trying to get to this food truck and that food truck, and, you know, and you're getting touched by this throng of people, okay? Well, this is what's happening to Jesus. All this multitude of people are around him. Verse 43, now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any of them, okay? She's used all of her money to go see all these doctors for 12 years, and nobody could help her. Verse 44, she came up from behind and touched the border of Jesus' garment, and immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, "Master, this large, densely packed crowd of people press you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" You know, it's like you're trying to get out through this crowd, and somebody, who you turn around, "Who touched me?" Yeah, which one of the 100 people, you know, around you touched you? And that's what Peter is saying. "Lord, how can you know who touched you with all these people gathered around you?" But Jesus said, "Someone touched me, for I perceived power going out of me." Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before Jesus. She declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And Jesus said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." He wasn't mad. He wasn't angry. "You are healed. Your faith has healed you. Go in peace." Her faith in his ability to heal her of the flow of blood, this major health issue that had plagued her the last 12 years, she had spent everything she had for those 12 years for a cure to no avail. But she had the faith, and she trusted in Jesus that he could heal her of this ailment if all she could do was just touch the hem of his garment. Not him. He didn't have to say anything to her. But she had the faith and the trust that she could just touch the hem of his garment, that she would be healed. She came forward when Jesus asked her who had touched him. She trusted that Jesus wouldn't do anything to her. Do you see her trust in Jesus? Everybody here this morning have faith in Jesus. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here this morning. How is your trust in Jesus? How is your trust in God? Do you have the trust and faith to believe everything you read in the Scriptures? I'm not talking about 50% of the Bible, or 75% of the Bible, or maybe you can believe 90% of the Bible, but, you know, that other 10%. No, we as Christians need to believe, we need to have faith, we need to have the trust that 100% of the Scriptures, Old Testament and New Testament, is 100% correct. Scientists, every so often, are finding things through archaeological digs that will prove portions of the Bible, but not all of it. Well, it's okay. You know, I can believe in the things that they have proven through science is true, but the other stuff, I have problems. No, we as Christians need to believe all of it. again, Hebrews 11:1. We need to believe in the things that we can't see, things that we can't touch. So again, how is your trust in the Scriptures? A length of chain is only as strong as its weakest link. If you took two 20-foot links of 2,000-pound chain, brand new chain, and you linked those two one-ton chain links by a 1,000-pound chain link, brand new, that chain is not a 2,000-pound chain anymore. It's a 1,000-pound chain because that is its weakest link. Okay? How strong is your trust in God? Do you believe 100% that one day God is going to send his son to take us to heaven? How strong is your trust in each other as Christians? Our faith and trust in God is only as strong as our weakest link. Now, I don't mean the weakest member of God's family. No, I mean your personal links, your faith, your belief, your trust that make up your Christianity, not somebody else in this building. We don't get to heaven by the work of others. Our journey to heaven is on our own merits, our own beliefs, our own faith, and our own trust in God, our own trust in the Scriptures. So again, how strong is your trust? I pointed back there, but over here. How strong is your trust? What is your weakest link? That is something that you need to work on. To have the 100% trust, the 100% strength that you need as a Christian to get to heaven. We're going to work on that this month. We're going to work on our trust in God, our trust in Scriptures, our trust in each other, so that we can all get to heaven that day when Jesus comes back to claim his own. If there's any way that we can help you this morning, let us know. If you need prayers from your brothers and sisters, prayers to encourage you, prayers to strengthen your Christianity, your faith, your belief, your trust, let us know. Let us help you. Let us pray for you. Or maybe you haven't put on God in baptism, and that's something that you need to do. We can take care of that sin problem as well. Please let your wishes be known as together we stand and sing.